Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's Lenten meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verses 38 to 42. It's found in the back of your bulletin. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly because he feared the Jews. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices and strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. So far, text. In Christ Jesus, who did his best for us and gave us everlasting life, dear fellow redeemed. The Passion as I remember it. So far this Lenten season, we've heard from Malchus, Annas, Peter, Pilate, the repentant thief, as they remember the Passion of our Savior. This evening we're going to hear from Joseph of Arimathea, who together with Nicodemus took the lifeless body of Jesus down from the cross and laid it in a tomb. Joseph was a very wealthy individual. He also was a member of the Sanhedrin, that Jewish council, the 70-man council, who were the first to condemn Jesus to death. But in Luke 23, we're told that Joseph did not go along with that vote. Joseph became a believer in Christ somewhere along the line, but secretly. He was afraid of his Jewish friends, possibly also of the other Jewish members of the Sanhedrin. So this evening, we'll be hearing an imaginary conversation of Joseph of Arimathea to us early Christians about what he saw, what he did when Jesus died on the cross. This conversation takes place about 6 months after Jesus rose from the dead. Dear friends and followers of Jesus of Nazareth, I know that you're here this evening to worship our risen Savior, to pray in his name, and to remember what he said and what he did. I'm glad you've asked me to come and tell you what I remember about what I said and what I did the day that Jesus died. Now I know that maybe some of you think that because I'm quite wealthy and a member of this Jewish Sanhedrin, that I just can't understand what Jesus means to you. But that's not true. Remember, Peter said that God is no respecter of persons. Jesus said that we are to trust in God, not because we deserve it, but because God is gracious and merciful and forgiving. I, as wealthy as I am, need God's mercy and grace for the assurance of my forgiveness, as well as you. You may be poor, or widows, former tax collectors, fishermen, merchants. And maybe others of you who have repented from a life of prostitution or thievery or other evil things. Jesus came to save sinners. And I am one of those sinners, just like you. Now, first of all, I want to tell you that even though I'm a member of the Sanhedrin, I did not go along with their vote when they condemned Jesus. Neither did Nicodemus or I go along with their plot to get one of the disciples to deny him or betray him, or to rile the crowd and give him a call for Jesus' crucifixion. We had planned to tell Jesus, but the high priest had said it was going to happen over the Passover, so we thought we had some time. And now I look back on it, The reason I didn't say anything is because I was just too timid, too fearful, too hesitant, too weak. But then when we were aroused out of bed that night and told to come to the trial, we found out that Jesus had been betrayed and arrested, and we heard all those false things they were throwing at Jesus, Nicodemus and I couldn't hold our peace. We tried to protest, but they didn't listen to us. Caiaphas was bound and determined to find something that Jesus had done wrong so that he could put him to death. I thought that I had this respect of my fellow members of the Sanhedrin, but when I tried to protest, they shutted me down, told me to be quiet. It had been about a year before Jesus' death that Nicodemus and I started following Jesus and listening to him and seeing what he did. I'm sure you remember that night when Nicodemus secretly went to see Jesus and he asked him, "Where did you get the power to do these miracles?" Do you remember what Jesus said to him? He said he came to establish the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was not Israel. He was not being a Jewish person. He said, "You enter the kingdom of God by being born again of water and the Spirit." Hour after hour, Nicodemus and I would rethink those words that Jesus told us. And they comforted our hearts. Especially those words that Jesus said to Nicodemus when he said to him that night, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." That's when Nicodemus and I realized that that happening in the past from our forefathers when they were bitten by those poisonous snakes was a pre-shadowing, a prophecy that Jesus would come to save us. Then Jesus said to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And finally said, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." When I saw Jesus hanging on the cross, those words of Jesus came back to me. And I realized then that Jesus willingly allowed himself to be arrested. He willingly allowed himself to be put on trial and be convicted, because Jesus knew that that was his Father's plan of salvation. I still have to say, I wasn't brave enough to do enough for my Savior. Early that morning, then, when I heard that the Roman governor Pontius Pilate had given in to the high priest's demands and the Sanhedrin's decree, and then your crowds crying for his crucifixion, and then I knew I had to go to Calvary. I had to see Jesus. And even then, when I saw him hanging there, I thought, he has all power. He could come down on a cross. He could kill all those people and just walk down and be safe. I still didn't completely understand this was the way God intended it to be. So I stood there, and I watched it all. With tears running down my face and my heart being torn in two, I heard Jesus ask his Father to forgive all of us. I heard him give those comforting words to that repentant thief, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." I watched and I saw that angry crowd mocking him, ridiculing him, taunting him, jeering him. And then suddenly it became black as night. And it was silent. Then I heard Jesus cry out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then he said, "It is finished." And I heard the final words that passed across his lips, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And I saw him breathe his last. And then I knew that I needed to do something. I needed to give him a burial. So Nicodemus and I got up whatever courage we could muster, to go to Pontius Pilate and ask him for Jesus' body. I had a new tomb dug for myself and my family nearby Calvary. No one had yet been laid there, and that's where we were going to put him. We went to ask Pilate for his body. Pilate was surprised. He was shocked that he had died so quickly. So he asked the soldier to go and see if it's true. When the soldier came back and said, yes, he was dead, Pilate gave his assent. And so we carefully took Jesus' body down, quickly wrapped it up with linens and some spices, and hurriedly laid in the tomb because it was near sundown, as you know, the Jewish Sabbath was coming and we couldn't do any work. Mary Magdalene and other women of Galilee followed us to the tomb to see where we laid him because they promised that they would come then after the Sabbath and give him a proper burial. As you know, praise be to God, early on that Sunday morning, before the women got there, Jesus rose back to life. It was a miracle that we really didn't expect. Even though Jesus had said several times to his believers that he would do this, we were so traumatized by this death and so filled with despair and depression and fear and panic that we just couldn't understand those words. But how much clearer all that God had chosen to do has now been made to us. We saw Jesus and walked with him and talked with him for 40 days till he ascended to heaven. And our faith became even more clear and stronger. And then when the Holy Spirit came on Pentecost and filled the disciples with the ability to speak in different languages, we all were filled with power and zeal to go out and teach the gospel, to tell people Jesus is the God-man. He is the Savior of the world who came to do one thing, to give his life as a sacrifice for all people. How wonderful it is to know that Jesus who died lives, rose from the dead, has ascended on high, and now rules all things. I hope and I pray that you are as excited to tell this good news about Jesus' death and resurrection to others as I am. Like Joseph of Arimathea, we too are often filled with fear, too timid, too slow to speak up for what we know is right and true. Like the disciples, we're so slow to believe and so slow to act in telling others that God loves us, that Jesus died for us. And why is that? Because we're afraid of what our friends might think. We're afraid of what others might say to us. We're afraid of how others might feel about us. We need to take our fear, our timidity, our spiritual weakness, and lay them all upon Jesus at the foot of the cross and rejoice in his forgiving love. And then, motivated by his great love for us, do like Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, do our best to serve the Lord. It's been easy to see the failures, the shortcomings, the sins of these individuals during these past 6 weeks of Lent that were involved in Jesus' passion. But when we look at ourselves, we see the very same failures, weaknesses, and sins that each of them had. How thankful we are that Jesus left his throne in heaven, came down to this earth, and took my place, and took your place, and lived that perfect life, then gave himself as a sacrificial payment for your sins and for my sins. We hear again the account of all that Jesus had to endure and go through. We thank our Heavenly Father for sending his Son. And we thank Jesus for sacrificing himself for us. Praise God.